The cycle of Judges church begins in Judges chapter 3, verse 7. After setting the scene about this generation that did not know the Lord, the scriptures will now detail some of the events surrounding the life of the judges. But before we consider the first judge, Heartland, it's important to understand what a judge was. Usually, a judge served with two functions. Number one, to be a military leader to deliver the people from oppression, number one. And number two, to settle disputes, providing godly direction and leadership to the people. Now, with this in mind, we are presented with the first situation after the death of Joshua and the leaders of that generation. In Judges chapter 3, verse 7, the text begins with the people of Israel doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, why has this happened? Why are the people turning to evil? Church, the answer is clearly given to us in verse 7. They forgot the Lord their God. Forgetting the Lord, church, means that they were no longer controlled by what they knew about God. They knew who God was. Listen, they knew who God was. They knew what God required. But they forgot the Lord. Though they knew who God was and what God desired, those things were not important and did not mean anything to the people. Now, church, to make this simple, let me explain the difference, hopefully with an illustration. In Oklahoma, because historically we've experienced many tornadoes, so when we hear about a tornado hit, a tornado rather, hitting Japan or the Philippines, or maybe even Hawaii, we know this information, but it does not make any impact to our lives in Oklahoma. But when we hear that a tornado is coming, Brother Scott, to southern Oklahoma, we know the same information about the tornado, but that tornado does impact our lives in a completely different way. This is what it means to forget the Lord. The information we have about the Lord no longer impacts our hearts. What we know about God no longer affects us. Now, the information simply stays the same. The information, however, does not hit our hearts. Our hearts freeze over, though our minds intellectually know the truth. Church, how easy it is to read over the words of the scripture and have zero impact on our hearts. What has happened? We have forgotten the Lord. The scriptures are very concerned with the problem, church, of us forgetting the mighty works of our God. For this very reason, Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 tell us to make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Church, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you, listen, they will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say that again. The litany of things that we added are yours and that I read that are increasing. If they are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, notice that we are supposed to be growing in each of these qualities. We are supposed to be making every effort, Brother Scott, to add these qualities to our faith so that we are not ineffective or unfruitful. But, church, what does that really mean? If these qualities are not ours and increasing, what does that really mean? Listen to what Peter says next in 2 Peter 1:9. Peter says, listen, for whoever, that's everybody, lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he or she is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Church, what does Peter say the problem is? The problem is that we have forgotten what God has done. We must be reminded of the things we know. Not so that these are just memorized, but so they continue to impact our hearts. That's why, Heartland, this is sometimes the shame and poor treatment of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not some ordinance that just needs to be kept, Brother Hayden, so it can keep God busy, keep God happy. That's not why. This is, listen, a memorial that the cross of Jesus will always cut, will prick our hearts so that we will not forget what the Lord has done for us through Jesus at Calvary. Church, listen, this is one of God's tools to keep us from being blind so that we will not forget our great God. Heartland, hear me well. Do not forget the Lord. We may think we have not forgotten the Lord, but we know we have not by constantly, Brother Scott, being molded and transformed by the Lord's actions and his word. In Judges 3, verses 8 through 10. Since the people forget the Lord and then they turn to their idolatry, the Lord gives them into the hands of Mesopotamia. The people served the king of Mesopotamia for 8 years. Now, church, I want us to think about how long that is to be oppressed by a foreign nation. For us today, it would be like saying we have been oppressed and attacked by another nation since 2018. Church, the reason I want us to consider the duration of this oppression is to see how slow the people are to cry out to the Lord. For 8 years, they are being oppressed. Yet, verse 9 seems to indicate that when the people cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer. But, church, it took 8 years of trying to deal with their oppression by their own strength and their own wisdom before they finally cry out to the Lord. But listen, when they cried out to the Lord, God heard them. Pardon, and God listens to the cries of his children. We serve an amazing and a compassionate God. We serve a God who listens to our cries. One of the common questions people have is, does God listen? One of the messages of the book of Judges that we see first at this moment is that God does listen to the cries of his people. How amazing it is that we could turn our backs on the Lord and forget our great God, yet God is still compassionate and willing to listen. Church, notice that God does not say that it is too late to cry out to him. Notice that God does not say that the people were too wicked for God to listen to them. I have people say, Brother Ed, I've just been bad so long, I just don't even know whether I'm good enough. Of course you're not. And nobody on this call is good enough. But I stopped to tell you this morning that you're not too wicked either. God does not say that the people were too wicked for him to listen to. Heartland, when they finally turned their hearts to the Lord, he listened to them and responded. Can I tell you something? God sends them a deliverer, Othniel, who saved them. God is always going to send a deliverer. It might not be what you want, when you want it, the way you want it, but our God is a compassionate God. So whenever something is going on, don't forget God. Don't forget him. You cry out to our God. He's an amazing God. And don't forget what he's done in your life. He's the God that we should know. He's the God that we should serve in earnest. Church, think about this for a moment. What did the people contribute to their salvation from the hand of this foreign king? What did they contribute? The only contribution they made, Brother Theron, to their deliverance was to call out to the Lord. That's the only contribution they made. But notice that verse 10 emphasizes this truth. Watch this. The Spirit of the Lord was placed on Othniel. But then listen to the scripture in verse 10. And the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. Heartland. Who truly was the deliverer. God raised up Othniel, and God used Othniel as a military leader and gave Othniel the victory over their oppression. You see, what I'm trying to share with you is this. Don't worry about what God is going to do. God knows how to do it. He can send somebody to deliver you from no matter what's going on and no matter where you are. Church, listen carefully. The Lord won this battle. The Lord gave the enemy into Othniel's hand. You know why, church? Because we do not have the power for victory. I know some of us think we do, but we don't. The people took 8 years to figure this out. Only our God, listen, only our God can give salvation. Only God has the power for victory. God allowed the people to suffer and to bring about a repentance that he desired. Church, one of the reasons the world is the way it is and why God allows pain and suffering is that so that we will see our, listen, that we will see our complete insufficiency to deal with these things. Church, hear me when I tell you, we, you, me, and nobody on this call can save ourselves. We can't help ourselves to save our soul. God needs us to see how totally insufficient we are at running our own lives and saving our souls. We have no power. Heartland, it takes life being out of our hands to see this truth. I mean, we'll go along thinking that we are the cat's meow. Some of y'all don't know what that means. If you're over 50, you probably do. Thinking that we got it all together, but we don't have any power. It takes life being out of our hands to see and understand this truth. God, our God, is showing grace to us. Listen. By allowing difficulties and suffering, we would not see how spiritually enslaved we are and how incapable we are without the difficulties of life. Because we'll think we're doing it. But there's going to come some times in your life, listen, where all you can do and say, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, I can't do it. I tried it. This is way too big for me. And then you'll have some experiences in life that will let you know to never forget God. Can I tell you about one in my life? Heartland, in August of 1997, God pressed this truth strongly in my heart. When my mother was diagnosed with terminal cancer, there was nothing I could do. I could not fix it. I couldn't do much of anything. There was nobody I could depend on to fix it. My sisters and brothers couldn't fix it. They were in the same position I was. The doctors tried, but they couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't fix it. Church, hear me good. I'm not talking about what I heard. I'm talking about what I know. Suffering opens our eyes, listen, to our inabilities, so that we will rely on the Lord who rules over all things and can do all things. So when we repent of our pride and arrogance, to think we are in control, we need to turn our hearts back to our God. The Lord then responds with compassion and grace. He listens to our cries. He hears our words. Now, he may not immediately change your life circumstance. Our mother passed away in December of 1997, but church, here's what I learned from that difficult life experience. If our God sees your situation of difficulty in your life, no matter what it is, he may not change that. But if he allows it in your life, listen, if he allows it in your life and you get to it, I promise you, if you stay faithful, he'll get you through it. He will bless you. That was probably one of the most encouraging things after all of the pain and hurt that we went through that I learned, because it was the hardest situation I ever faced. I knew I could do nothing, but now I know I can do anything. Listen, you'll just hold on and cry out to God. Don't forget him. Don't forget the great work that he has done in your life. Remember what he has done. The best predictor of the future in your life is past relevant behavior by our God. He's been with you. He's with you this morning. He was with you through all of the things that you have gone through and brought you through them because you're on this call this morning. What makes you think if you cry out to him again, he won't be compassionate and listen? Don't forget God. Cry out to him. He'll send you a deliverer and he'll grant you peace in the midst of a storm. In Judges chapter 3, verse 11, the result of Israel crying out to the Lord is peace. Repentance is critical for renewal and restoration. See, when trouble comes, what you want to make sure of, Sister Body, is that your heart is right with God. Don't play with it. Don't guess about it. If you think there's an issue, Lord, help me. I messed it up. Don't be too proud to say, Lord, I messed it up, because repentance is critical for renewal and restoration. But when you mess up, get up, fess up, and God will help you. For 40 years, the people of Israel are able to live in peace. Spiritual renewal, church, and peace only comes, listen, by crying out to the Lord and not turning to our idols or our own strength. Don't go back to the things that you used to do or go to things that you know you shouldn't do. And you can't do it by yourself. You're whistling Dixie. Can I tell you another one that I want to add on this? Peace is enjoyed by, when things get real hard, serve God. Give him the best you got in the midst of that storm. Why, Brother Red? Because peace is enjoyed by resting in the power of our God, not your power. Church, what we must learn is that the deliverance, help, strength, and salvation we need only comes, listen, through the chosen deliverer that God sends. Our help is found in God's chosen instrument of help. That is Jesus. We have peace in God's chosen instrument. We have peace with God when we turn to find our help in Christ alone. Can I tell you something else? Only God is able to save, and that salvation is only available through God's chosen deliverer, our Lord, and only received by those who turn and call out to the Lord. You got to call out to the Lord. Don't forget God. Call out to the Lord. The prophets promised a greater deliverance, a full spiritual salvation. They promised it to come when Jesus came. And Peter quotes Joel in Acts 2:29. He said, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's in Acts 2:21, but he's quoting Joel. Turn your hearts, church, back to the Lord. Do not forget the Lord your God. Let his actions and his teachings be real and meaningful in your life. Learn that God is the only helper and savior. Call, church, on the name of the Lord. Peter tells us in Acts 2:28, tells the people how they are to do this. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I stop to tell us all this morning that no matter what happens, Brother Booker, in your life, what I want us to do is cry out to the Lord and never forget the things that he's done great in our life. And don't let anybody discourage you. If you mess it up, get up. And if you're at Heartland Church of Christ, we'll help you. Cry out to God. God is a compassionate God. He's a loving God. And he'll send you his deliverer, Jesus our Christ. Don't let anybody discourage you, because you're going to have some times in your life where life's circumstances will beat you down. And there'll be some times you'll look for folks that you know to help you up, but they won't. But our God will send a deliverer. I stop to tell you his name is Jesus. That's the God we serve. Don't let anybody discourage you in following the Lord. Don't let life circumstances discourage you in following the Lord. Don't forget God. He's the only salvation that we have. And he's also the only salvation that Israel needed. That's our example, church. If you're here this morning and you've never named the name of Jesus, I want to tell you how you can get to know him. you've never been baptized and added to the church that's in the Bible, because there's only one in the Bible. Don't let anybody fool you. If somebody tells you that any church don't make any difference, that's one thing, Brother Scott, you can know for sure when you hear that, that he or she is in the one that's not in the Bible. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing. Hearing what, brother? With the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. After you have heard the gospel, in Mark 16, 15 and 16, the Bible teaches that you must believe the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not will be condemned. Once you've heard, believed the gospel, the Bible teaches that you must repent of your past sins. And Luke 13, 3, the Bible says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. After you have heard, believed, and repented, the Bible further teaches that you must confess the name of Jesus. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Your confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God raised him from the dead. That's the confession. Once you hear, believe, repent, and confess, you must be baptized. As I said earlier in Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, when they asked Peter, they just killed Jesus, they messed it up and they knew it. Peter, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then God will add you to the church that's in the Bible. There's no such thing as joining the church in the Bible. There's no such thing in that's in the biblical context at all. Well, I joined my church on the third. There's no such thing in joining the church. God adds you to the church after you obey God's plan for salvation. And if somebody told you that you could join the church, I stopped to tell you they misled you. There's no such thing. And you've not read it in the Bible anywhere. But for whatever reason, you may need to respond to God's invitation if you hear. And you know that you've been forgetting God. You need to cry out to the Lord. You need to repent of those things that you have done. Because what you'll find yourself in at some point is in a situation where you know that you're incapable of doing it by yourself. And that's the grace of God, because you're still living and Jesus hadn't come back yet. For whatever reason that you may need to respond to the invitation of God, we bid you to do so as we close out our preaching portion of this morning's service.